You're listening to Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. This is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be a part of our program, dial toll-free 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. Glad to have you listening to Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. This is Tony Beam. I am the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference. Let's see if I can get this Facebook thing to keep going over here. All right. Thanks for tuning in. My favorite story of the day, I've got to start out with this, and it's really not that big a deal. I'll just go ahead and preface it with that. But you've got to love it when Katy Perry puts out shoes that look like blackface. And they actually, so we've got blackface feet, I guess is what we'd have to call them. Because these are Prada shoes that are very, very expensive, very high dollar, very chic shoes that was put out by Katy Perry. This is the story by Laura Lynn, writing for CNN. Luxury fashion house Prada is withdrawing products after some items displayed at a Manhattan storefront were seen as depicting blackface imagery. So you've got blackface on your feet now. Blackface for your feet, I guess is what you could call it. The products, Prada's Pradamalia line, were pulled Friday after images surfaced of some merchandise depicting monkey-like figures with black faces and large red lips. New York-based civil rights attorney Shaniri Ezzi spotted the products at the Prada store in Manhattan's Soho shopping district by happenstance on Thursday after recently returning from a conference in Washington. While in the nation's capital, she visited the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture, and she wrote on Facebook that she was struck by how the items looked similar to images she saw in an exhibit on blackface at the museum, and seeing the products left her shaking with anger. On Friday afternoon, Ezzi's Facebook post had been shared more than 9,000 times. Now, I'm looking at these, and this is Prada. They're saying these are imaginary creatures not intended to have any reference to the real world, and certainly not blackface. Prada never had the, and somehow Katy Perry's attached to this. Evidently, she either has a pair of these shoes, or she's endorsed these shoes, or her name is attached somehow. But you can't see that. You should see this. There are times when radio is limited.
Describe it to me.
Well, I mean, it looks like, you remember those wind up mechanical monkeys, mm-hmm, with the little, it had symbols. And they played symbols. Mm-hmm. It looks like that, except it looks like it's got big red lips. And the arms and the body and the that's what it looks like.
These are on the shoes?
Well, I don't even know how you would wear this. I can't see how, I guess these legs down at the bottom are the feet. Are the heels. And these shoes coming at you would look like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it other than just to say, I was thinking that I'm going to mock this, right? Because I'm thinking, what? Mm-hmm. I read the story and there were no pictures. So the story was kind of like, oh, Katy Perry's in hot water because she's endorsed or wears or put out a line of shoes, mm-hmm, called that are Prada that look like blackface. And I'm going, yeah, this. And then I saw this and I was like, any reasonable person would look at this and go, are you kidding me? I mean, I can't confirm this, but it looks to me like there's been an order of 10 pair of these ordered by the governor's mansion in Virginia. Now, I can't. I'd have to go look into, FedEx records.
Yeah, I think you better.
But, yes, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, really, Here, I'll pick up the computer here. Turn it around
Show it to the camera.
So you can see it.
And then I can see it over
Maybe
here.
Can see it on Facebook here. But I mean, these are, if you're walking down the street and you looked in the window, you would think that you were, I mean, I don't know where you'd think you were. Did you, you can see them better just by looking over here. I mean, if you just looked in the window, what does that look like?
Nothing I want to put on my feet, I can tell you that.
Yeah, whether or not they depict anything or not, they're just ugly to start with. I mean, shoes.
They're not exactly wingtips.
No, not exactly. I mean, they just, but they do, oh my. And when you see it like an individual, you know, by itself, it looks pretty.
Yeah.
So, let's see, here's another. Oh, wow, they've got a keychain that looks just like the shoes, selling for $550, and it's showing one of these keychains hanging on somebody's pocketbook. This is really weird stuff. I mean, I can't imagine people sitting around, you know, I guess there's a room somewhere, right?
Yes.
Where they sit down and they design shoes.
Exactly.
And they're doing all this, and somebody says, hey, take a look at this pair of shoes, and look at this matching keychain. Can you imagine this hanging from people's pocketbook?
Yeah.
I think I would be shocked enough to go, no, Fred or Jane or whoever.
You're not thinking outside the box.
Take a look at this and think about just what does this look like to you? Well, it looks like some kind of creature. That's what we're doing. We're trying to... No. Look at it again.
Come on. They're thinking, you know, this is the fashion for millennials. It's going to take off. They'll all be wearing them. Yeah. We're making millions.
Yeah, it's going to take off all right.
And we go into keychains. We go into purses. It's going to be everywhere.
I promise you, I was ready just to go, you got to be kidding me. And then I saw it, and I was like, okay. I understand. I understand there being some concern expressed over this. All right, we'll take our first break. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. You can watch us on Facebook Live. In order to do that, you have to go to Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah on Facebook. See, the website is TonyandHannah.com. But Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah is the Facebook page. And if you want to watch us live on Facebook, you can do that. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, we're going to be talking about later on this hour. We still have this event coming up on February 17th over at Five Forks Library, Drag Queen Story Hour. And we'll give you the latest on that. There's going to be a counter... I guess you could call it rally or protest outside the library. About 5,000 people have signed a petition against the Drag Queen Story Hour, and about 1,600 have signed a petition in favor of it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over in Simpsonville on February 17th. But we'll give you some more details about that here in a few minutes. Right now, I want to talk for a minute about the Democrat Party's problem with anti-Semitism. It's been sort of floating around out there, comments by Keith Ellison, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said a couple of questionable things about Jews. But the main instigators here are Representative Ilhan Omar, a Democrat from Minnesota. She came out the other day and pretty much just said that AIPAC was an organization that was paying lobbyists to support the Jews. And pouring money, into the Jewish community for them to use for whatever purpose that they want. And now she's tried to apologize. She got, in fact, the heat got so bad that Nancy Pelosi actually woke up and, came out of her nap time long enough to condemn Omar and to basically say, look, you're going to have to, you're going to have to apologize for this. You can't let this stand. So her apology is not being received well by people who are offended by her anti-Semitism. Here's what she said in her apology. Anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. she wrote. My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. Then she came back and said, at the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, or the fossil fuel industry. It's gone too long, and we must be willing to address it. The problem is AIPAC is a much different organization than the NRA or the fossil fuel industry. AIPAC is lobbying for a people group and lobbying to protect their rights. And so to throw them in there, and say, I mean, basically saying that AIPAC doesn't have a right to lobby for Jewish rights in the United States, that didn't go over too well. This is coming from an article today at the Daily Wire. It was written by Ryan Saavedra. And this is some of the response that Omar's intended apology has received. For her apology to be believed, one would have to believe that she didn't know of the anti-Semitic trope that Jews usually use their money to control world politics, the Republican Jewish Coalition tweeted. Furthermore, she equivocates by saying that she finds pro-Israel advocacy to be problematic. See, I knew that's the way that would be viewed. When you say that AIPAC, we've got to, you know, be concerned about the lobbying of AIPAC. Here's another. It says, I apologize for my anti-Semitic comments, Ben Shapiro tweeted, mocking Omar's statement. Now I shall double down on my anti-Semitic comments, but word them slightly differently. That was his response. And then there were several others. But the point is that she's not the only one. Matt Walsh has got a piece today at Daily Wire talking about that the Democrats are fast becoming a party of bigots and they need to rein in a lot of their freshman members have come out of the gate with some very hateful rhetoric. And then he points out some other ways, including Kamala Harris's questioning of judges based on their religious preferences, which is something that you're never supposed to do. I mean, the Constitution is pretty clear that there can't be a religious test for service to the United States. And yet Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein and I think even not Dick Durbin, but his name just left me. I can't believe this. Chuck Schumer, that Chuck Schumer's been involved in some of this as well. But here's what Matt Walsh writes for the Daily Signal today. Jew-hating Congresswoman Ilhan Omar tweeted a standard anti-Semitic trope on Sunday. As Ben Shapiro explained in his piece today, anti-Semitism is endemic in the modern Democratic Party. Representative Rashida Tlaib, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Keith Ellison have all been guilty of it, though Omar might be the most explicit and gleeful in her anti-Jewish bigotry. Bigotry is a common theme among Democrats. This, after all, is the party that subjects Christian judges to unconstitutional religious tests, examining their belief systems and their religious affiliations. In one of the most bigoted statements uttered by an American politician in recent memory, Senator Dianne Feinstein famously told Amy Coney Barrett that her Catholic dogma lives loudly within her. That's a concern, she added. Senators Kamala Harris and Mazie Hirono have likewise scrutinized Christian judicial nominees for their faith. Of course, this is nothing compared to the discrimination Christian business owners face because of Democratic state governments and policies. Christians like Jack Phillips are subjected to penalties, fines, and other forms of legal harassment simply because they wish to operate according to biblical precepts. The Democratic Party is also your one-stop shop for misandry, M-I-S-A-N-D-R-Y, okay, and anti-white rhetoric. Democrats have come out against stay-at-home moms, Midwesterners, and homeschoolers as well. And, of course, there's no group more reviled and diminished by Democrats than the unborn, who, according to nearly every Democratic politician in the country at every level of government, don't even count as people. And he goes on to say it's no wonder that Democrats are constantly trying to hang the bigot label around everyone else's necks. It's classic projection, like the cheating husband who grows increasingly suspicious of his wife. A recent survey showed that a sizable majority of registered Democrats think Republicans are bigoted and sexist. Keep in mind that many of these same people think babies aren't human, masculinity is toxic, the Jewish state has no right to exist, and Christians should be forced to bake cakes for gay weddings. They're so immersed in their own fanatical prejudices that they can't see anything but prejudices in others. Now, I don't know how far this is going to go, but the Democrats are not off to a great start in this new Congress, because they've got at least two. You've got Rashida Tlaib, and then you've got Omar. Both of them have been very open in their anti-Semitic comments. And we just found out Rashida Tlaib has actually contributed to a publication that Louis Farrakhan puts out. Now, this was back in 2006, and I don't think it had anything to do with bigotry. She was talking about specifically about immigration. But why in the world would you want to write for a publication that supports Louis Farrakhan? Louis Farrakhan, the guy who said that he admired Hitler. Louis Farrakhan, the guy that called the Jews termites, said he was anti-termite. This is stuff that used to be hidden from plain sight from anybody that wanted to be in public office. And now this stuff is pouring forth as if progressives have now embraced fully anti-Semitism and become proud of it. And I think that's going to be a big problem for the Democrat Party. I mean, you've got, you know, a lot of people are saying that Trump is vulnerable in 2020 politically, and he may be. But I don't know that America is ready to replace President Trump with a party that is embracing some pretty dangerous ideas when it comes to racism and bigotry. I mean, look at the mess that you've got going on in Virginia. That's an ongoing mess. And I'm telling you, nobody is going to resign. This is not going to be a case where people decide to resign. They're going to hang in there. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We've got Dr. Evan Leneau is going to be with us from Southwestern Seminary this morning to talk about ethics and to talk about how Christians can engage in the culture without losing their soul. Looking forward to having him on the program. He should be calling here in just a few minutes. Stay with us for more Christian Worldview today, 888-660-9535. And by the way, it's Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah, back in 3 minutes.
Here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
Okay, I know what the deal is. They're not going to call, Dr. Leneau's not going to call till 8:30. That would be 7:30 his time. So that's the thing. He's in Texas, out at Southwestern Seminary. So we made it 8:30, and I was thinking 7:30 because he was saying, well, that would be 7:30 for me. So, but it'd be 8:30 for us. So that interview will be coming up at 8:30. You're going to want to be sure that you're hanging on for that. All right. Let me just give you the update on the drag queen story hour. It just seems so weird to be saying that about something that's going on here in the upstate. But anyway, the creator of a petition to cancel the drag queen story hour scheduled inside a Greenville County library is planning a counter event to be held at the same time outside the library. Plans for the story hour, which invokes four drag queens reading to children at the Five Forks branch of the Greenville County Library System, were made public in late January and quickly met with a petition written by Taylor Cox. The event was planned by a local group called Moms Liberal Happy Hour. The group reserved Moms Liberal Happy Hour, South Carolina, I should say. The group reserved space at the library, but the event is not sponsored by the library. It is just simply going to take place there. Apparently, this group, Liberal Moms Happy Hour, Moms Liberal Happy Hour, rather, has reserved the space. Cox's Change.org petition said the event should not be allowed to be held in a public space. Petition was named Stop the Drag Queen Storytime. With more than 5,000 signatures by Wednesday morning, a petition in support had 1,600 signatures. Cox has announced plans for a counter event to be held in the parking lot at the Five Forks Library on February 17th. Cox's pro-family community gathering will include a recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, opening prayer by Pastor Mark Burns, and speeches from various people, including Cox. Both events are expected to begin at 3 p.m. And then it just goes on to talk about the First Amendment and how the Greenville County Library Board of Trustees has reviewed its use policy and regulations code in light of the controversy. And they released a statement saying the board is constrained by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that as a governmental agency, it cannot regulate usage based on content. The board further believes that our current regulations meet the free speech requirements of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Yeah, I mean, that look, when you have government space and you're going to make it available to the public, you pretty much have to make it available to everybody. I mean, I get that. Now, Taylor Cox's argument is that it shouldn't be available as public. You know, this is taxpayer money to build the space to, and that there's speech being endorsed by the government. But again, if I wanted to have a Bible study and I wanted to go down there and conduct a Bible study, I could rent that space. We could take Christian Talk 660 down there. And, you know, if the space is available, whatever hours that they allow it for anybody, they would allow it for us to do something, to have an event. So I get that. I'm not saying that the library should stop this. If they're going to allow anything, they're going to have to allow just about everything. Now, I'm curious. I wonder if, it'd just be interesting to see what they would do if it was a white supremacist group or an anti-Semitic, since we're talking about anti-Semitism. What if an anti-Semitic group wanted to rent that space in order to rail against Jewish people? I mean, would they let them do that?
I don't know. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you want to have drag queens in talking to adults about their lifestyle and why they want to do this, and people want to go to that, they have every right to do that.
I got you.
But when you bring children in,
I know,
and you and I are adults, and we're supposed to watch out for the children, then we should watch out for the children.
That's the problem I have. Well, I've the same problem. That's the first thing that I talked about when we put this on the air the first time, that this has to do with children mm-hmm. being exposed to this kind of thing when they're not old enough, most of them that come to Story Hour.
If parents want to do this in their own home, that's their right.
Well, I know.
But there are other people walking around the library that, you know, and they may look in and see what and wonder what in the world's going on. It's just absolutely.
I get that. But it's public space that the library rents to anybody. And
sure.
I think it's reprehensible. But, I mean, I don't know how you tell them no. And then the only thing I want to know, I want to know about consistency. I want to know if the library, if they would push the First Amendment button and say, we have to rent this space to anybody that shows up, if it was something like the things that I mentioned. Are they going to say, I mean, my guess is that the library has a line that they're not going to cross. I just have a feeling that if it was a group of people that wanted to have a white nationalist rally inside that space, that they would be told that they can't do it, and the library would take the heat. Now, I could be wrong. I'm saying things that I'm speculating about, and I want to be clear about that. But I just once you set a policy like this, I think you have to follow that policy. When you say come one, come all, you need to stop and think what that means. I mean, you know, are you ready to have the kind of expressions that a lot of people would find offensive? Christians find this offensive. But a lot of people would find it offensive to have, and Christians would find white nationalists, nationalism offensive.
I know people that are not Christian that find this offensive.
Right, right. So I think that, you know, I think they if they're going to do this, then they need to be ready to take the heat for things that probably everybody on the trustees of the library would be deeply offended by. That's the only thing I'm saying. All right, Chris is on the phone. Chris, go.
Morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You know, what I find offensive and reprehensible is all the abuse in a church, and that's being covered up constantly.
Well,
I would reprehensible.
I would say that it. Look, Chris, I spent the first hour of the program talking about that yesterday. I don't know if you heard the show, but that's what I opened with.
Yeah.
And I went through the story. I talked about the people involved. I read from the scripture about the fact that people have a misunderstanding about what the gospel is and about what happens to people. I mean, look, when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, it doesn't turn them into a perfect person. They still have to deal with the sin and the fallen nature that is theirs because of the sin that's rampant in the world today. And people fall. People make mistakes. People sin. People do horrible things. Some people do it, and they're not true believers. They come in the church. They find an opportunity. One of these terrible acts that was committed at Second Baptist Houston was committed by a contractor, somebody that didn't have anything to do with the church. They were hired to come in and run a pageant. So I'm just saying that, yes, things like this happen. It happens everywhere. It's horrible, and Christians have to deal with it. They have to get serious. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to have to address this issue in a way that has some type of registry so people can't go from church to church. You know, it's harder with Southern Baptist churches because they don't have a hierarchy. That most people don't understand this either. Southern Baptist churches are autonomous. They don't report to the Southern Baptist Convention. The convention office can't come down and tell an individual Baptist church what to do, but they can put some policies and things in place that like a registry. And they've been talking about this. I pointed this out yesterday. Since the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, this was one of the things that was a committee that was set up to consult with lawyers and other people who have safeguards in place and to come up with a recommendation that would go out to all the churches and an operating procedure for the executive committee, which they can have sway over. So anyway.
Don't you think it's odd, though, that you have this situation here in Simpsonville where some odd individuals wanted to go to story time and read stories to children. And I would say they're odd because they want to, you know, dress in female clothing. And I'm not bothered by that, but I just do consider it odd. And then you have this, well, it sounds like it's going to be this huge number of people who are going to come out there and protest this. They're upset about it. They think it's wrong. But yet, you know, you have these abuses in the church, especially the Catholic Church, that just seems to go on year after year after year. But where's the protest? Where are the people standing up demanding accountability in that situation?
Well,
but yet,
Chris, I've always
spent an hour reading little children's books, and all of a sudden, oh, I got to go protest. I got to go do something about that.
Well, Well, absolutely. I just told you things that are being done about the church situation. Chris, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I do 2 hours of radio here every day, and when this came out about the Catholic Church, I talked about it. When it came out about Independent Baptist, I talked about it. And now it's my own denomination, Southern Baptist, and I read big chunks of the article yesterday and talked about the people involved, and I condemned every bit of it. So I'm not being inconsistent here. I'm also going to condemn men, grown men, dressing up like women and going and read books to children who are not old enough or equipped yet to deal with all the questions that come from what in the world is going on here. I mean, like I said, if they want to dress up in if they want to dress up like drag queens and invite people to come over to their house, and parents think that's a good idea, then that's fine. But to do that in public and to do that with children of all people, I mean, I just find that to be reprehensible, as reprehensible as I find anybody who would go into a Baptist church and use the name of Jesus as an opportunity to abuse a child. I think those things are pretty much in the same basket. So, anyway, thanks for the call. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
Okay, just had a question on Facebook. Why was the Drag Queen Story Hour able to be canceled at the Mecklenburg Library, the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library? Why did they shut it down and we can at Five Forks? Well, it goes to, I just went back, I looked up the story from Charlotte, and the problem is that the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library doesn't rent space out to groups to come in and do this kind of thing. What the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library policy says is that they don't invite people from outside to come and lead story time. Those are led by the story or by the library staff. And that's according to Cordelia Anderson, the library's director of marketing, communications, and advocacy. We have a very specific way that story times are addressed following best practices in the library industry, and these are typically delivered by trained staff following those practices. So the library offers programs other than story times. It goes on to say, but what this looks like is that they don't have space at the Mecklenburg Library that an outside group can come in and rent. And I think that's the issue here at Five Forks, that the Greenville County Library System has that. They put space available for people to come in and do this.
Well, and at least that sounds like their policy on story time is a library personnel have to read that. If that was the case at Five Forks, then they couldn't do it because they'd say, no, it has to be one of our personnel that does it.
Well, yeah, but actually they still could, because you can't, unless you copyright the phrase story time, because, again, what the library does in their space, they could say, okay, we're not going to invite somebody to come in and do the library's story time because this is our story time. Mm-hmm. But once you have space that you rent to an outside group, if that outside group wants to come in and say, well, we're going to read stories too, we're going to pay for the room, unless you have stipulations that you would lay down for everybody who rents that space. See, this is the thing. I think the library needs to go back. Now, they're claiming that there can't be anything done about their policies because you have to protect everybody's right to free speech. And I get that. But I think you can, because it's your space and it is government space. I mean, that's the other tricky part of this. If this was private space,
right,
if the space belonged to me and I was renting it, I could determine what goes in there and what doesn't. But because this is built with public funds, then the library system has to have an access. They have to fall under the equal access laws that say if you're going to allow one group to come in here, you can't deny another group. And that protects religious freedom as well, religious liberty, as well as it does groups like this.
So anything goes.
Well, if, you know, I'm asking the question, Gary. You're saying to me, I asked that question first.
Exactly.
I said, Is there a line here that would be crossed where the library would say, no, we can't do that? And what would that line be? If it's not drag queens reading stories to children, then are you going to draw a line when you have an anti-Semitic group? Are you going to draw a line when you have a white supremacist group? And I'm not criticizing the library. I'm just asking a question. Look, we all have to live in this community. And if we're going to live in this community and have any kind of standards, there's going to be a line drawn in that space. And I just don't know where the line is. It obviously hasn't been drawn when it comes to drag queens. Now, here's, by the way, this is a follow-up. I've just been kind of clicking on different stories here. This is Butch Kirvin, who is the chairman of the Greenville County Council, was quoted as saying, quote, speaking for myself, I believe that if it were in county council's power, the activity scheduled for Five Forks Branch Library on Sunday afternoon, February 17th, would be shut down immediately, Curving said in a statement shared with the Greenville News. I believe that the county council in no way condones the organization, its agenda, or supports this group's purpose. So evidently, they actually, according to this, the county council went in and had their staff do some research and see if there's any way that they could get involved, and they say there's not, that they can't go in and take that space that's rented legitimately and shut it down. So there we are. Andy, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, sir. Looks like they could put, you know, some type of stipulation within the agreements of the use of this property. And, you know, to go to an extreme, I mean, you could say in nature it has to have something to do with books, you know, maybe to keep it simple. But, you know, a strip club, you know, what if a strip club says, hey, we're going to rent the space and have a strip club in here? And I think everybody would say, well, that's really not the intended use and purpose of a public library, even on a rented
right.
space.
Right.
And so you got to, you know, let's go to the extreme and then just start backing it up to what makes sense. But it would have to, in some form or nature, would have to be something that not harmful or endangered to children, because it's a place for children. So again, that's just, you know, from an extreme standpoint, and let's start backing it up and then, you know, write a policy to say, hey, it needs to fit within the confines of books or library or something.
Well, but this would fit within the confines of books. It would be this particular event, because this is a, you know, these are drag queens reading books to children. It just sounds
weird and so
to say that.
You just add to it of, you know, it can't be harmful to children, or it has to be put on by a organized nonprofit, or, you know, whatever you want the stipulations to be. But I think, I don't think the answer is, well, we just can't do anything. I mean, if you don't like it, you know.
Well, that's a good question, and I'm asking that question this morning. I don't know the answer to it. But I'm like you. I'm guessing that there would be something that the library would say, we can't do that. So what is the standard? Because the statement they put out basically said anything goes based on the First Amendment. And I'm just guessing that that's not going to be the case. It's just where the line gets drawn. And I don't understand where the library, and I do understand that it's government property and that there are certain laws that apply to that. But there's bound to be some limitation that you can put on there. I agree with you about that. Ira, thanks for calling.
Hey, Doc. Here's what can't be done, I'm sure. Reading books, which is good, in the library to kids, which is great, in blackface reading Huck Finn. I'm sure they would stop that after what's going on in Virginia right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Maybe
I
we
think
could
that's
get
a
the
valid
governor.
Question.
Maybe the governor could come down and read the book.
Get Governor Northam to come, and we could buy him a pair of these Prada shoes he could wear. Then you'd have black. I guess you'd have drag queen. That'd make a drag queen in blackface or something. I don't know what it would be. Gary, you're next.
The blackface question is really good. I was just going to point out, I think what's just been pointed out, that an acceptable use policy is appropriate for a government facility or any facility, and public funds and free speech is not violated by acceptable use policy that says these are children and adult material is not permitted, and drag queen is clearly adult material, regardless of what they're reading.
Well, but here's the thing, Gary, I hear you, but see, I could rent that space for a meeting. See, this is the problem. It's generally used as meeting space. I've been to meetings you've probably been to meetings at the library, because they have and they rent that to anybody. This group is let me finish. This is a legitimate children, so hang on a second.
Material should be prohibited.
But wait a minute, Gary. Wait. Let me finish. This is a legitimate nonprofit group in South Carolina that has rented this space to have this meeting, and this is what they intend to do with the meeting space. So it'd be just like me going in and saying, okay, I'm going to rent the meeting space, and I'm going to conduct a study of the Book of Revelation. Somehow there's got to be a stipulation that says one of those is fine and the other one is not. And I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm just
confessing. It's the audience. It's based on the audience. When the audience is specifically children, then the material should not be adult-oriented, and that could be an acceptable use policy that I think everybody ought to be able to vote for. Adult stuff is for adults and not for children. And if even when you preach in your pulpit, if you're about to broach a sexually sensitive subject, you may tell your parents this would be a good day to have your kids in the nursery and not bring them into worship with you because it may raise questions that you're going to have a hard time dealing with.
Right. Gary, thanks for the call. I appreciate your thoughts always. We've got about 10 seconds here before Fox News. We'll tell you what's going on in the world, and then we'll come back with more Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. Stay with us.